Ken, going back to the beginning of this, President Biden issued an executive order really requiring certain elements of the federal government to tinker in the voter registration process. Want to fill us in on those details?
He issued an executive order, I want to say 2 months in, maybe, to his administration. It was always described the way in Happy Talk. Make voting easier was the typical description. But really what they were doing was trying to convert parts of the federal government into voter turnout machines, voter registration and turnout efforts. And of course, those are going to be targeted at areas, whether geographically or programmatically in the government, that are going to be more Democratic, by which I mean Democrat Party voters. At least that's what they assume. And they're turning the government from a neutral arbiter in this competition of ideas into an active participant on the side of the Democratic National Committee. That's what this executive order is about. Executive Order 14019 is the number. It's playing out more or less as those of us opposed to it said it would. And, by the way, they're hiding their plans every step of the way. And that tells you something, too.
It was my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that elections are really the purview of the states. And, Ken, to take it one step further, isn't voter registration usually a function of the political parties?
It is a function of the political parties. And you are correct that voting and elections are the purview of the states. We run, if you think of the District of Columbia like a state because they participate in the presidential election and have their own, we have 51 different sets of rules. And that is a good thing. And I'll tell you a unique reason that's a good thing from my history working at the Department of Homeland Security. You know, one of the things that the federal government legitimately does is keep an eye out on foreign actors like Iran, China, Russia, to avoid and counter them attempting to participate in our elections in any way. But that's foreign actors. And the federal government is appropriately the vehicle to deal with that. But if one of them were to hack an election, just for discussion purposes, they would hack one state at most because of that we have all 51 different state systems. If you did what many of on the left want to do and centralize elections out of Washington, then if they hack the system, they've hacked the entire nation's elections. And they actually would be a much more serious threat to play a role actively in changing votes for presidential elections. Whereas now, because of the Electoral College, every state is its own separate election. And they don't know any more than any of us do which states are going to be the critical ones that are going to turn the outcome one way or the other. And every time they even try to meddle in our elections, risks getting caught. And above all, they don't want to get caught. And so we've made the value, if they succeed, low enough because of our state-by-state approach, that it makes it too dangerous for them to try to directly hack our elections. Just one example that you don't hear other people talk about very much, but it's a Homeland Security perspective that I have as to why it is so valuable to have each state running its own elections, to say nothing of their own history, the laboratory of democracy, learning what works best, and so many other reasons.
So we have this executive order hanging out there, and we have federal departments tinkering in the election process, Ken. Senator Ted Budd of North Carolina is taking aim at bringing a halt to this. Can you fill us in on what the senator is attempting to do?
So this week he had a budget amendment to the Senate appropriations. It's called a minibus. It's because it's one bill of many as opposed to one great big bill funding the whole government. And his amendment would have prohibited funds in that bill from being used to implement or to enforce that executive order 14019 because it isn't appropriate for the federal government to be doing. There's no statutory law allowing the government to do it. and he would block it by blocking funding for it. That's what Senator Ted Budd attempted to do. And he's not the first senator, by the way, to really drill down on this. Senator Hagerty and another dozen senators in May of this year, they requested a full accounting of all of the federal funding that was used to implement the executive order. Well, guess how much they've gotten out of the Biden administration? They haven't gotten any information out of the Biden administration on that subject. That alone, if I were a senator, would be a reason for me to block further funding.
As we look at this, we're now on the eve of yet another presidential election here in 2024. And Ken, there's still a significant part of the electorate that questions the integrity of the 2020 election. As you look at this ongoing tinkering by the federal government, and we see it by governors in individual states as well, is all of this contributing to skepticism about what the integrity might be of the election coming up in 2024?
Absolutely. And I lead a group called the Election Transparency Initiative at electiontransparency.org. If people want to check us out, that's electiontransparency.org. And our gold standard is confidence in the outcome by the side that lost. We want a system that is so transparent, so reliable, and by the way, that includes simple, that everybody can see everything that's happening in the system except how their neighbors mark their ballots, but can see the whole process of the voter rolls, how they're cleaned, if they're cleaned, how absentee ballots are sent and come back. Not just be briefed on it, but be able to see that for every single one. Again, everything except how the ballots are marked. And so afterwards, they can have the kind of confidence in the outcome that really forms a solid foundation for a constitutional republic like ours.
Ken Cuccinelli is national chairman of the Election Transparency Initiative. You did give us the website. I'm going to ask you to do that one more time so folks have it, Ken. But tell us a little bit about the background. Who all is involved? How did the Election Transparency Initiative begin?
So the Election Transparency Initiative is almost 3 years old now. It began coming out of the 2020 election because of the very concern you cite by many grassroots activists and ordinary citizens who were concerned that what they saw and what they weren't allowed to see in the election was so concerning to them that they needed to be actively engaged in fixing it. The American Principles Project and the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life Group got together and formed the Election Transparency Initiative so they could keep focusing on their key areas. The American Principles Project fights to protect families. They're fighting to keep men out of women's sports, for example, and to fight the scourge of transgenderism and the normalization of it. Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life is America's largest pro-life grassroots organization. And they formed the Election Transparency Initiative so that we could focus on elections and they could stay focused on their core mission. And I lead the effort to help clean up our elections, to make them more transparent, to make them more secure, getting things like voter ID across the country, ballot transparency in terms of the process for early voting and absentee ballots, and frankly, shortening early voting. I'll give you an example. Virginia, we have 45 days of voting, and it is an incredible burden on a citizen-run system to be able to man all those shifts and to allow both political parties and anybody with an interest to be able to man shifts to watch people running the election. That's part of the transparency we're talking about, is to be visible to all the citizens, including those that are competing with each other, all the time in an equal measure. And that is something we work for and have worked for 3 years with a great deal of success, including getting the sort of thumb on the scale situations like the federal government trying to take over our elections as they did in 2021 and 22, and this executive order 14019 that you and I were talking about. That's a totally inappropriate role for the federal government, getting rid of Zuckerbucks, the private dollars that were essentially paying government offices to do voter turnout, which, as you noted, is a function of political parties, and it should be left to political parties, not to government. So that's those are some of the things we've succeeded on over the last 3 years, and we have a lot more work to do. And if people want to join us, they go to electiontransparency.org and find out how. But there are Americans all over the country who I think can have a lot more confidence in their elections today because of the work that so many people have done for the last 3 years to improve the quality of our elections. Bottom line, our elections are better off today, more transparent and more secure than they were 3 years ago as we were heading into the 2020 elections. So that's a real plus. We have a long way to go. Nonetheless, we have improved a great deal as well. And for that, we're very grateful. We appreciate you paying attention to an issue this important and hope everybody listening will go be an election official. I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or vegetarian. Your elections locally are run by citizens. Your election officials don't have enough manpower to do it themselves. Go in, get trained, sign up. If you're concerned about well-run elections, you can become a citizen participant. They'll even pay you a little bit of money to do it because you'll be working, and you'll be working to keep our elections safe and secure. And for that, I'm grateful ahead of time.
Again, we have been talking with Ken Cuccinelli, the National Chairman of the Election Transparency Initiative. Ken, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Always good to be with you.